Book of Jonah. Got Amos, Obadiah, and Jonah. Many times we're quick to walk past a field that's full of precious stones. You ask somebody on the street, you ever heard of Jonah? Oh yeah, he disobeyed the Lord. And he made a whale for him, and he went in the belly of the whale 3 days, and then he said, salvation to the Lord. That's true. That happened, but there's a wealth of gospel in this book. Lord willing, starting next Sunday evening, for the next 4 or 6 weeks or so, we'll go through the book of Jonah. But tonight, I want us to look at the book of Jonah. Just do a quick overview of the whole thing. So I'll have you turn to one scripture at the very end. So try to stay with me. Jonah, verse 1, begins, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai." That's the greatest blessing that can be bestowed upon any human being ever. If the word of the Lord comes unto you. Who does that come unto? It says, Jonah, the son of Amittai. Amittai means truth. Jonah was a son of truth. That was established before this world was. And that's who the Lord's word comes to. In verse 2, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it." Like the Lord told John the Baptist, prophesied there in Isaiah. He said, "You cry unto her. You'll cry in the wilderness. All flesh is grass. For their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Now from Joppa to Nineveh was about 550 miles across land as a crow flies. And from Joppa to Tarshish was about 2,500 miles. The Lord spoke to His prophet, to child of God, and He said, "You're going to go to Nineveh for me." And that rebellious child went down to the port and booked the first ticket on a boat leaving as far away as he could get. And it cost him a fare, didn't it? Every time a child of God disobeys our Heavenly Father, when we willfully rebel against the Word of God, against Him, there's a price to be paid. There's going to be a fee from us. It's going to come in chastisement. Verse 4, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." The Lord chastens His people, His children. And whenever He breathed on that ocean, He sent that mighty storm. Everything that Jonah was relying in, what he thought was his refuge, what he thought was his safety, what he thought was his smooth ride, will be broken. Anything other than coming to the Lord in Christ, Christ our ark, it's going to be shattered. It's going to be broken. Verse 5, "Then the mariners were afraid," those sailors, "and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them." Here's a picture of sinners being saved. They see the judgment of God. They see God's wrath on sin, and they begin praying to their lowercase g gods, anybody they can speak to, praying to what they don't even know. And you know what they do? They're burdened by the heavy weight of sin when they see the Lord's wrath. And those wares that's in their boat, they're throwing every one of them out. Is that what we do? Judgment's coming. Oh, get rid of drinking. Stop going to the picture show. Get it out of there. Got to lighten the load. Won't help them. It says, "But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." This rebellious child that knew the Lord knew that he was the Lord over that sea, wasn't he? He was resting. Even in his rebellion, he was resting. Resting in the Lord. Verse 6. So the shipmaster came unto him, the captain of the ship, and said, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Why ain't you working like we are? Why ain't you working hard enough? Get up. Pray. We're all going to perish." And they came every one to his fellow and said, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Here's a picture of the first Adam. The judgment of God was coming upon all these fellows in the same boat. And it was because of the offense of one. Now they went and they rolled the dice. They cast lots, however they did it, to find out who it was, whose fault it was. And it landed on Jonah. And they said unto him, "Tell us, pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us, that thine occupation, what is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country, and what people art thou?" Those other men saw that they're all going to die. And they said, "Who are you? Where'd you come from? What do you do? Who's your kin?" Like every rebellious child of God, we are caused to admit what we are and declare the Lord. And when the Lord came to Adam in the garden, he said, "Adam, where are you?" Christ wrestled with Jacob and he said, "What's your name?" We're going to confess what we are. Verse 9, and he said unto them, "I'm an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." Jonah starts preaching to him. He said, "You know this big storm that's coming, this tempest that's raging on? The Lord made the sea. He controls the sea. He controls the weather and the dry ground and everything. And that's who I fear. I'm a child of God." Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" Here's unregenerate men that's fearful, that looks to a child of God and said, "Why did you leave him? Why would you do this?" They knew it was nonsense, didn't they? That was foolish. Why do we? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. There's a whole lot Jonah told these people. It's not recorded. But Jonah told them of the Lord. He said, "I'm his. That's who I fear. And I left him. I sinned against God." Verse 11. Then they said unto him, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea is wrought and tempestuous." The wrath there means it's growing rougher and rougher. It's so tempestuous that the waves are breaking on each other. It's coming over the boat now. And here we see Jonah as a picture of Christ. So far, that's been a picture of me. That's been a picture of every one of his children. You can take Jonah's name out and put my name in there. "Lord, I've sinned against you. I'm yours. I didn't obey. What judgment I deserve, what chastisement I receive. That's me." Now we see Jonah as a picture of Christ. It says in verse 12, "And he said unto them, Take me and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you." You want this judgment to be ended? One has to die to save all the other ones. That's what has to take place. "For I know that for my name's sake, this great tempest is upon you." You are aware of the judgment that you deserve. You're aware of the judgment that's coming for my name's sake. Don't every one of us wander this earth ignorant of God's wrath, of His judgment, of death to come, what we owe, the law we have offended, in ignorance. Blissful ignorance. We're just happily going about being married and given in marriage and everything else, not knowing. But for Christ's name's sake, to His people that He died for, one died so that many could live, we're made to know the wrath that we deserve. The first time we hear that, what's our nature do? Verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and the tempest was against them. Christ died for sinners. True sinners. Rebellious, undeserving sinners. That unconditional election. Nothing in us. That's who He came to save. That great physician came to heal the sick. How quick do we hear that, and nevertheless, we grab our oars and row just as hard as we can. I'll get to dry land myself. We just got to do it quicker. Hurry up. Trouble's brewing. I can get myself out of this mess. But it won't profit. That sea grew greater. It rocked greater. The waves crashed harder, and they got bigger. We went from a storm to a gale to this is a full-blown hurricane. We can't get out of it. Verse 14, wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee. Now, remember the first time they cried to the lowercase g gods. Now Jonah come to them. Jonah preached to them. Now they cried to the Lord of hosts, the Lord. They said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Lord, save us because we're casting one into the sea, into the depths. And lay not upon us innocent blood. Lord, when you purge us with that blood, make it effectual blood. Not just a pretend, not just a blood that is anybody's blood. Make it your blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done it, done as it pleased thee. Could all it be a picture of Christ? He said, I'll provide myself a lamb. Salvation's of the Lord in its conception, in its execution, in its sacrifice, and in it every bit of it. It pleased Him. Well, that's a confession from a bunch of commercial fishermen, isn't it? From a bunch of old sailors. Lord, shed your blood for us. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Immediately, when that one that died for many, when Jonah, our Christ, went into that sea of God's judgment, immediately the sea stopped. It was flat. All justice has been satisfied. All wrath has been consumed by Him for His people. And whenever that sea stopped, and that calm came, there's therefore now no condemnation. Something's changed, isn't it? Verse 16, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. That's not, they weren't afraid. They honored the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. What vow did they make? Like Paul said, against that day, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded He's able to keep unto me against that day. What I've committed unto Him against that day. That's what they vowed. Lord, salvation's of you. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. The Lord prepared the fish. This wasn't the doing of the fish. It wasn't the doing of the ones in the boat. It wasn't the doing of Mother Nature. Lady Luck. The Lord prepared the fish that Jonah was going to go into. And what happened? Just like Psalm 31. There in chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Inside that fish's belly he prayed and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou hearest my voice. The word hell there could be grave. Out of the belly of the grave I cried, and Lord, you heard me. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Lord, I've been forsaken. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'm out of your sight. Yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. The whole time, without sin, with no guile in his mouth, bearing our sin and our shame on that cursed tree, he looked to the Lord's temple, looking to the Father. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountain. Where did the Lord go down to? He ascended from on high. Descended from on high. He was on his throne in heaven. He came to this earth. He went to Mount Calvary and then was buried into the side of a mountain, wasn't he? The earth and her bars was about me forever. The bounds of that law, just like the ribs of that fish wrapped around Jonah. Christ was born as a man, walked this earth as we did, under the confines of the bars of God's holy law. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came unto thee, into thine holy temple. How was that? Who could approach the Lord in the holy temple? The high priest couldn't. The Lord had to come praying on our behalf. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Willfully coming to this earth. Willfully going to the cross. With joy redeeming his people. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. What did Christ vow to pay before time was? He said, I'll be the Lamb. God's first elect. And in him, he said, I'll redeem that people. I'll obey the voice of my Father. Salvation's of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish when he was satisfied. And it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. That picture of Christ doesn't end there. That's a beautiful picture. But something else happens. The work, it's been finished. But there's still something that happens in believers' lives, isn't there? Look here in verse 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Nineveh is a picture of the Lord's kingdom, of his spiritual Israel, of all his elect, his church as a whole. And he's saying, you go preach to them. Go speak to their hearts. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. This was a big town. That doesn't mean it was 3 days away. That means it was 3 days across. They estimated about 60, 65 miles across. It'd take a long time to walk across that, wouldn't it? Big town. We'll see how big at the end. But this was a large town. Verse 4, chapter 3, verse 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Like that voice crying in the wilderness. All flesh is grass. Judgment's coming. He made it 20 miles into that city. Preaching all day long. Salvation's of the Lord. What was the result of that? Verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least. They said, stop consuming everything we're consuming. Take off all your garments, put on sackcloth, worship the Lord. And it says, from the greatest of them to the least. From the educated to the uneducated. From the rich to the poor. Male and female. And to the king. The greatest of those people. What did he do? The greatest shall become the least. Look there in verse 6. For word came unto the king of Nineveh. And he arose from his throne And he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. The greatest man in that city, he came from his throne and he took that robe of righteousness off. If it's a sinner, if we look at this, we might look at this two different ways in a couple of weeks. If it's a sinner, we take off our robe of righteousness, don't we? And we put on that sackcloth, old burlap sack. Lord, I'm nothing but filthy rags. And I'll sit in ashes because this world's going to be consumed. There's nothing solid that we sit on, and we look to you only. And then the king of Nineveh, the king of the Lord's church, of his body, he came from his throne on high, gave us his robe of righteousness, and became humble for our sakes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water." Don't consume anything. Don't even drink water. "But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God." Don't consume anything. Don't drink anything. Don't do anything by your hand. Cry only to the Lord. "Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands." Every child of God will be turned from their evil way. We'll all be turned from our violence, from the corruption we want to commit, the violence against God's holy high command, against his law. We'll all be turned from it and pointed to the Lord. Verse 9, "Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not?" Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. That whole city, this big, great city, cried, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." If you will, you're able. If you so choose, Lord, if you're satisfied with the sacrifice you provided, you can save us. But holy is your name. Verse 10, "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way." They turned from their religion. They turned from their doing, from their consumption, and they turned to Christ. "And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." That had already been performed, hadn't it? The punishment, the wages of sin is death. Without blood, there'll be no remission of sins. What did Jonah come preaching? Christ our substitute. One died for many. And as a man, he come there saying, "I got threw off a boat." And everybody in that boat was saved. Those that looked to Christ, fellows in the same ship, saved the same way. Now, isn't that a miracle? We'll see in a minute, there's 120,000 children, little ones, like infants, in this city. That's a big town, 60 miles across. The whole city bowed to God. "Lord, we're nothing. Oh, if you will, salvation to the Lord. Save us, Lord." Could you imagine walking up down the streets of that city? You think there's any road rage at the stop signs? "Hey, brother. Hey, sister. Oh, let me help you." Boy, what a pleasant place to be, isn't it? As a man, as the Lord's prophet, God used Jonah to preach through that city. So often we think, "Well, nobody's going to hear us. Look what a small flock we are here." That's about the size of this county, or this, you know, this metropolitan area. What if in one day the Lord was pleased to let one of us just tell who Christ was? Tell what he accomplished at Calvary. Tell who man is. Tell him where Christ is now. And all of San Diego took off their robes of righteousness, put on burlap sacks, said, "Oh, you're the Lord. Praise be to God." What a miracle. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be a nice place to live? What do you think the response of this? Now before, people said that, I don't like the term, but they say, "Oh, well, Jonah was a backslider. He knew the Lord and he went away, or he wasn't saved yet till he come out of the whale." But we know that saints, we're still trapped in this flesh, ain't we? What won't a believer do? They won't apostatize. They won't eternally go from the Lord because He won't allow it. What else? What else would we do? Anything. Anything that this flesh could do. We'll do anything. Now this miracle just happened. The Lord saved a whole city. From the king to the babies. All of them. Every one of them. And you know what this prophet of God, this chosen elect child of God, one that Christ died for, what did he respond with? Chapter 4, verse 1. Now we know he already come out of the well. This is a child of God. It's the Lord's prophet. Chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. You would guess that? That was the first time you ever read Jonah? He's mad. He was displeased. Why? Look at verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Isn't this what was in my heart? Didn't I say this? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. Lord, I knew you was going to save your people. Jonah's a fatalist. But if the Lord's got people in there, he'll save them. I don't need to do any work. I'm going to go vacation in Spain. I'm going to go to Tarshish. He don't have to use me. I don't have to obey him. If they're the Lord's, they'll be saved. The Lord's going to use means. He'll use men and means to save his people and cause his people. Jonah said, therefore, now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life for me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Lord, just kill me now. Take me home. I'm unprofitable. It's my heart's desire just to go vacation somewhere. Like Peter, I want to go back to fishing. Lord, take me out of here. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? How's that working out for you, Jonah? Did it do any good for you to be mad? One of the references there in the margins, Matthew 20. That's where it says, can I do with my own as I see fit? This is the means I've chosen to do, Jonah. How does the Lord save His people? Through the preaching of the gospel? You're going to be a preacher, Jonah. Go preach to them people. I don't want to. You're going to save them anyway. Go. He made him. He just saved all his people on a ship. Put him in a whale for 3 days, made him declare salvation to the Lord, saved an entire city, and Jonah's mad. What won't a believer do? But the Lord's going to teach him. Here in verse 5, so Jonah went out of the city, sat on the east side of the city, and there he made him a booth, and sat underneath the shadow, that he might see what would become of the city. He said, I'm going to take my ball and go home. And he went to the outskirts of that city. I'm going to sit down and we'll see if the Lord's going to save this town or not. I'm going to watch it. See if it burns or if He makes it thrive. But I'm just going to be on the sidelines. I ain't going to have no part in it. I'm just going to witness it. I'm just going to watch it. Thank the Lord, let us do that. If He means for, if He purposes for His people to serve Him, is He going to keep you from praying? Is He going to keep you from supporting the work, from attendance, from loving your brethren? Won't happen, will it? Verse 6, and the Lord God prepared a gourd. I always think of kudzu. You ever seen a, you know what gourds are? Big old vines, and it grows a one of those fruits. You cut them up, you can dry them, and make a spoon out of it sometimes. My uncle had one, and he smoked Winston's. He'd stick a lot of cigarettes, stick it on the vine of that gourd, and before that cigarette went out, it would wrap around it. We count how many times it wrapped it. It'd be like 10 times. They grow fast, certain kinds of them. But the Lord prepared, just as He prepared that well, just as He's prepared salvation, just as He's prepared everything. The Lord prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. The Lord gave a great blessing. You're out here in this desert. It's hot. And He made a big old shade grow right over top of your head. And Jonah was exceedingly glad in the gourd. My pride sinful flesh, my self-righteous flesh, said, I'd have learned by now. No, I wouldn't have. The Lord keeps kind of teaching us, don't He? He teaches us all the way till He takes us home. God prepared that gourd. Verse 7. He giveth, doesn't He? The Lord giveth, but the Lord taketh away. Chapter 4, verse 7. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. The Lord gave him a great material, physical blessing. And just as fast as He gave it to him, and Jonah rejoiced in that gourd, the Lord took it from him. Verse 8, and it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind, a hot wind from the east. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah so that he fainted and wished himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. He's ready to end it all. Give up. Throw your hands up. It's back to being bad. And God said unto Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? Is it going to do you any good? Are you mad over that gourd? And here's what Jonah said. He said, I do well to be angry unto death. I'm mad and I'm going to be mad because this blessing was taken from me all the way till I die. Oh, I'm mad. Fighting mad. Here's what the Lord does for His people. Went through all this to teach us something. Verse 10. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd. Pity there in your Mars reference can be translated as spared. You wanted to spare that gourd. You wanted to have pity on a gourd. For the which thou didst not labor. You had this blessing. You wanted to spare it. And you didn't work for that. Neither madest it grow. You didn't water it. You didn't plant it. You didn't water it. You didn't make it to grow. Which came up at night and perished at night. This blessing came to you when you were unaware. And when it went away, you were unaware. You didn't know it's coming and it's going, did you? Verse 11, and should not I spare Nineveh? You're ready to be mad for the rest of your life over something you didn't labor for, you didn't water, you didn't make grow. The Lord said, Nineveh, I've watered. I've planted. I've labored for, and I've made to grow. That's mine. Should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? He asked Jonah, he said, you're so concerned about this one blessing that I gave you after everything you've seen, and you understand your concern. This is my city, my people. I've labored for, I've purposed, and I've cared for. I've watered. I'm going to spare them. And it says there are 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand. First time I read that, so that's 120,000 people that don't know their left hand from the right hand. And that's what it feels like a lot of times when you first hear the gospel. I don't know really what all this stuff means. There's a whole lot of these doctrines of grace like we looked at this morning. I kind of got a handle on that one. I really don't know what this one is. How does all this apply to me? And how can I use this through the week? How can I put it in shoe leather? I don't understand. But it was more than that. One of the commenters said that was a small baby, a little toddler. Which one's your right hand? Which one's your left hand? They don't know. That's just the children. How many people is in that city of Nineveh? The sands of the sea. An innumerable people. That's who the Lord sent to save. Save them and much cattle. All the things to provide for them. For their labors, for their benefit, to sustain them. Everything. That's what He taught Jonah. Well, my brother said, that's the last recording we have of Jonah. That's where it stops. He said, you know what, I bet you if there was a verse 12, what it'd say? Now you go to the next city. So it's going to happen. We get this picture of Jonah. We see ourselves in Jonah. We see the gospel going forth, saving sinners. We see the Lord preserving His whole church because of His prophet, His priest, and His king. Because of Christ, who He died and sacrificed for His people. We get this picture recorded for us in this four short chapters. The Lord's preserved this throughout time for us to have. He'll continue to preserve it. But if all we got was the story, it wouldn't be much for it, was it? It'd just be something we'd tell the children when they went to bed. Maybe scare them from going out on the ocean, becoming fishermen or something. Turn over to Matthew chapter 12 and we'll close. Hopefully throughout this book, we'll see a Lord's rebellious children. We'll see Jonah as the first Adam. What it is when sinners are saved, these pictures of Christ. Christ effectually calling all of His church, providing for that church. How often we become angry and we complain and we murmur. Children of God, how quick we are to murmur. How we're an anti-type of Christ. Man has to have two natures. The Lord's going to save him. Like Paul said, there's a war going on in me. And that's why in one person, Jonah, we have the picture of every sinner that walks the face of the earth. And we have a picture of Christ at the same time. Christ dwells in His people, doesn't He? And we'll see salvation accomplished. But here in Matthew 12, beginning verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from Thee. Perform a miracle. Convince us. Verse 39. But He answered, said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be there 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Just as the prophet Jonah foretold, Christ is going to be in the belly of the earth. Verse 41, The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, all the saints of God, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. They turned from themselves at the preaching of Christ. And, behold, a greater than Jonas is here. That's the one that speaks to us. This beautiful picture. I could preach for till I'm dead. Preach 40 years out of Jonah and not scratch the surface. And that's just the written word that we have. We have a person. We have a Savior. And He is much greater than what we see in Him. I pray we can look to Him. All right, let's pray together.